Good morning. Today's, I'm going to be handling the prayer and scripture reading, and I'll start with the scripture reading, looking at 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 27 through 28. That's 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 27 through 28. And it reads, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worship the Lord there. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day, another week. We thank you for all the little and big things that you do for us, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to be a Christian and be able to operate in this world, and for you giving us a map to tell us how to act on a daily basis, the Lord. Watch us as we go through this week, the Lord. Help us to think before we speak and do things. Help us to always remember who we are, the Lord. Watch over the leaders in the church of this world, the Lord. Help them to make right decisions, the Lord, and help everything to work out in your favor. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all things. Forgive us of our sins. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
John 16, verse 21. When she's in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into this world. That's John chapter 16, verse 21. You may be seated. I want to say good morning, and whether you remember this Franklin family, a visitor, or a virtual guest, I am grateful that you are here today, grateful that God has brought us together for yet another opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among those of us that be the saints of God. Certainly, we're going to open our Bibles shortly to the book of 2 John, see what we can glean from 2 John. My invitation is for you to join me there, as these verses will be the context for today's lesson entitled Motherhood, Truth and Love Defined. Mothers, Truth and Love Defined. And I want to say that it's a wonderful thing that God's Word has so many messages for mothers. It just does. And not just for mothers, but for parents, messages for dads and grandparents as well. And these messages also mean something special to those of you who are not yet parents, but someday will be. And they even have meaning to those of you who are single adults, because of all of us have such a profound impact and influence on the children in our lives, even on this day. You know, I've had my children and have raised my children, still feel like I'm raising my children as well. I don't know about you, but I guess you never ever run out of the idea that they still are your children. So you continue to care for them, and you continue to yearn for them, and you continue to be for your children what God has called you to be. Because all of our children have have said some things to us in times past that we just will never forget. And my boy was about to make 5 years old. I went in, I said, "Son, you know what's going to happen tomorrow, right? You're not going to be 4 years anymore. You're going to be 5 years old. You won't be four anymore. You're going to be five." Trying to get him to understand the idea of holding up four fingers and a thumb. He looks at me and he says, "You know, I realized I'm going to be 5 years old tomorrow, but I only have four fingers and a thumb to hold up. So what that means is, on tomorrow, I'll be a handful." And he definitely was a handful, not just for me, but for his mother as well. Children add so much to the lives of mothers. It's just indescribable. And it's inconceivable for a father to know exactly what it is that a mother goes through with her children. So I want to begin this morning by reading through this letter in 2 John, and then we'll go back and take a closer look at it as well. We read this letter. It was sent from the Apostle John to the elect lady and her children. Now, I don't know exactly who this lady was. In fact, there's some disagreement along the lines about whether this is an actual woman who had children or whether this is symbolic language for the church and its members. An actual mother is going to be my assumption this morning. A mother who was trying to raise her children in the faith of God. So as we go through this letter, I'm going to be talking to those of you who are mothers, because you have such an awesome privilege and responsibility that's given to you by God. You have an awesome privilege and responsibility as a mother that's given to you by God. But again, whether you're a mother or not, there's much that we can all learn from this letter, because we all have an opportunity to influence the children around us. I want to tell you that there are two words that you look at in this book that make up the theme for this letter. And those words are truth and love, truth and love. And from John's first epistle, you might get the impression that love is an overwhelming theme in the book of 1 John, because love is mentioned over 40 times. In fact, John even says that God is love, and that a person can't call himself a follower of Jesus if you don't have any love. But then there's a second letter that John makes it clear that we need more than just love. Not only do we need love that is shaped by truth. Love that's shaped by truth. And matter of fact, love without truth isn't love at all. You ever heard of true love? Love without truth isn't any love at all, because true love defines our relationship between us and God. God has true love for us. The idea is whether we reciprocate that true love back to God, or do we just simply say, you know, I love you, God, and that's it. Like we say to our spouses and our children and our friends. Love is such a word that's, it's just taken for granted. We're talking about true love from God to us, and we reciprocate that love to God as well. Paul says to the church in Ephesus in chapter 4, verse 15, that we need to speak the truth in love. Speak that truth, continue to speak it in love. There are just a few words that characterize Scripture more than that. And when we look at Scripture and try to characterize Scripture as we look at the context of this lesson, balance is what we need for context. Time after time, we see a balance of warning and encouragement. We see the balance of faith and works. We see a balance of doctrine and practice and do's and don'ts. And right here in this letter, John wants to make sure that this mother is balanced with truth and love. This morning, I want to make sure that every mother out there under the sound of my voice understands that you can't just love your child. You can't just tell your child the truth. There has to be a balance of truth and love in that relationship. Doesn't matter if your child is 6 or 60, they're still your children. Amen? And sometimes when you're 60, you don't really know how to talk to your mama as you talked to her when you were a little child. But you should talk to her the exact same way, because she demands that respect. Doesn't matter if you're grown or not. Too many of us get too grown for our mothers. There are a few words that better describe the definition of a mother than love and truth. And we know full well when John writes this letter, there were some false teachers in that day. They were traveling around from town to town and leading people astray. And so John was very concerned about the truth in this letter. And he lays out three things that I want you to know this morning are very important for every Christian mother to remember, and for the rest of us as well. Because too many times in our lives, we look at our relationship with our mother, and some of us don't even talk to our mothers anymore today. We might want to talk to her on today because it's Mother's Day, but what do you do when it's not Mother's Day? How do you appreciate your mother in those times when she works on your nerves? Should she? Your mother ever work on your nerves? Listen, God says a mother has a responsibility that he has given her. And whether she works on your nerves or not, let me just tell you something, children of mothers, She is still your mother, and she deserves that respect. Because God has put her in that place to command that respect. And you, as a child of that mother, I don't even want to preach this morning. I just want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about your mother, because your mother and your relationship is different from my mother and my relationship. But our relationship with our mothers ought to all be the same when it comes to serving God, because he says, if you don't love me, how can you love somebody else? In verses number one of 2 John, he says that we ought to just know the truth as mothers. He says, mothers ought to know the truth. The elder to the elect lady and her children whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son in truth and in love. The first step I want to tell you mothers out there, whether you're old mother, whether you're a young mother, whether you're an adopted mother, whatever you might be, the first step in raising your children in the truth, you've got to know the truth yourself. There are too many people trying to raise children with assumptions. Too many people trying to raise children by reading these self-help books. Too many people trying to raise children without God at all in their lives. If you want to raise your child the way that God says you ought to raise your child, you've got to know the truth yourself. You can't raise your children in Christ unless you know Christ yourself. And it's obvious that John is writing this letter to a Christian woman, someone who evidently knows the truth. And we as mothers ought to know the truth, and that truth ought to be spoken to our children every waking moment of their lives. Mothers who love their children speak truth. We got a lot of fairy tales we read to them when they're young, don't we? A lot of fairy tales. But the bottom line is they're going to grow up and understand that those things are just fairy tales. But the reality in their lives are going to come to fruition by what you spoke to them in their ears while they were young. They were young. John says this is an elect lady. Elect. Some translations put it as a chosen lady. Some refer to it as chosen ones. In Colossians 3:12, Paul calls us God's chosen ones. In 1 Peter 2:9, he says that we are a chosen race, right? And that's appropriate for all of us who are going to be a follower of Christ. Because long before we came and made the choice to follow God, listen to me, God chose us first. Chose us first. And he chose a woman to be a mother. Let me just say that about 5 or 6 times. Because we feel like we don't understand that anymore in this age and the day that we live. We're getting crossed up. The lines are getting blurred. God chose a woman to be a mother, and that's the only person. Chosen. Let me just say something to husbands that are fathers who think they might want to be mothers. Well, you know, I'm that child's mother because the mother isn't there, so I'm just going to file it on my taxes. Get out of here. Can't do that. Listen, husbands, let me tell you something. You should never ask your wife why she loves you. Don't do it. Because if you ask your wife why she loves you, you might be disappointed at the answer she gives you because it's not what you're thinking, right? I'm gonna tell you right now, my wife loves me, but I know she loves those children more than me, and I'm not mad at her. Just give me just a little bit of love, just give me some, right? So don't ask her. You might be disappointed because it might not be what you think. John tells us here in this passage that he loves this woman, and he tells us why he loves this mother. He tells us why. He says, because of the truth. Not only does he love her in truth, but so do all the other Christians who know the truth. In other words, that there is a bond between all the children of God. And those of us who are Christians have experienced the truth of God also the truth of God and who Jesus is and who God is. We've experienced the truth of his salvation in our lives. And what's so amazing to me, when a visitor that's a member of the church comes into our presence and they share in the same beliefs and the same truth that we have, let me tell you what happens. We naturally fill with love for them. Might not have ever met them, but Christ brings us together in love and truth, and we are just fascinated by that. I know I am. You can go just about anywhere you want in the world. If you meet a Christian that's steeped in the truth and love of God, oh, it's an amazing thing, isn't it? It's amazing how God brings us together in love and truth. He says in verse 2, because of the truth that abides in us, will be with us for forever. Because see, the truth for a Christian is more than just a set of teachings. Mothers teach their kids a whole lot of things. But the truth for a Christian is more than just a set of teachings. Because our truth is centered in Jesus Christ, who abides in us through the Holy Spirit. It's centered on Jesus Christ, who promised that he would be with us forever. It's centered on Jesus Christ, who himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life. So when you make a commitment to believe that truth about Jesus Christ, you will commit yourselves to Christ and you will follow him. Then verse 3 says, when you follow him, grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father, from Jesus Christ the Father's Son. How? In truth and love. So again, we put our faith in Christ, God's grace, mercy, and peace is going to permeate our lives. We're going to soak it all in. It's going to fill our lives. There are too many people who have more than one child, and they tend to, the Bible says, Rebecca loved who? You know who she loved. Leah loved who? You know who she loved. Jacob loved who? You know who he loved. Sometimes we have favorites as mothers. We do. We do. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you can't have a favorite child. But I'm going to tell you there has to be some balance in that as well. You can't show that favoritism. You can't do it. There has to be an equal balance all around. Because I'm going to feel some type of way if I find it out. Tell you right now. That's why the Bible says in Acts chapter 10 that God does not show favoritism. We're all his children. We're all his favorites. And he doesn't show favoritism. So mothers, if you got a favorite, don't tell me about it. Don't tell me, because I'm going to feel some type of way. The application here is clear. You can't begin teaching your child to know the truth unless you know the truth first yourself. And knowing the truth means knowing Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the second thing that John calls us to do is to practice the truth. Mothers are to practice the truth. There's too many children seeing their mothers doing things that they shouldn't be doing. You can say amen to that if you want. We don't want to talk about it because that's our mother. But the truth is the truth. There are too many mothers out there doing some things that they ought not be doing, especially in front of their children. Saying some things that they shouldn't be saying, especially in front of their. It's clear application. If you're going to know the truth as a mother, you need to practice the truth as a mother as well, because it's not enough for us to know the truth. We need to practice the truth, and we need to live it in our lives. We're not going to be perfect as mothers. We're not going to be. But somebody's always looking, am I right? And somebody wants to be a mother just like you are a mother. You're setting an example for your little girl want to be a mother just like you want to be a mother. You know what my granddaughter told me? She says, you know, sugar cooks real good, and all I want to do when I grow up is be a cooker. Somebody's looking. Amen? What is it that you wanted to be when you saw that in your mother? Or what is it that you saw in your mother that inspired you to be who you are even on this day? What was it? Verses 4 and 5, John says, I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth. Just as we're commanded by the Father, and now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. Let me just say this to you, to each and every one of you out there. There is no greater joy for a Christian parent, no greater joy for a Christian mother or father to know that your children are walking in the truth. And if they're not walking in the truth, why not? Is it because of your influence, or rather lack of influence? There's nothing greater than for a parent to know that their children are walking in the truth. Because if they're not, you know, people are going to be out there saying, oh, ain't you such and such child? You from around the corner? He out there telling all them lies. And let me just say this to you, why I got it on my mind. Because too many people do it all the time. Stop talking about your children to somebody else. Stop letting them know what goes on in your house with your children, because they're going to use that as ammunition for you, and Satan is going to have a foothold in your house. Stop talking about your children to other folks. It ain't their business, and they don't care anyway. No greater joy for a parent to come and see that their children are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And walking the truth means that you put it into practice. It means that you live out what you believe as a parent, and even as a child, you live it out because somebody's looking. And every parent, I'm sure, all parents, I'm sure, have many hopes for their children as they were growing up. We want to see them grow up and mature. Mothers want to see their children enjoy good health, so they feed them too much. Mothers want to see their children gain knowledge and skills that would help them in this life, get a good education maybe, and maybe find a God-centered, meaningful relationship with someone to love and to be loved by. A God-centered, meaning relationship that's built on truth and love. God-centered, right? So to all mothers' children, all of you mothers' children out there, your mother's hope and prayer is for children not only to know Christ, we're talking about Christian mothers, not only for your child to know Christ, but also to serve him with all their heart and to commit to know him and follow him all the days of your life. Oh, nothing warms the heart of a mother more than to see her child serving God. Sadly enough, though, you must come to understand that your children will not automatically walk in the truth. They won't do it on their own. Children need our prayers day in and day out. And they actually need more than that. So how do we ensure that our children are going to grow up in the faith? Well, we start by setting an example ourselves. If we hope that our children are going to walk in truth, mothers need to do what? Walk in truth as well. Can't just talk the talk. You got to walk in the truth as well. How do you do that? John says, it's not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one that we had from the beginning, that we love one another. The saddest thing that can ever come into a person's life is to say these words, that my mother never told me that she loved me. Anybody ever hear that before? I'm a grown man, I'm a grown woman now, and sad enough in my mind, I still regret the fact that I've never heard my mother tell me, right? John says, we practice the truth by loving one another. And John tells us it's not a new commandment, it's not at all. It isn't some strange, new discovered teaching that we've come across. Rather, it was the teaching of Christ from the beginning. From the beginning, listen, love one another. Love one another, we gotta do that. Mothers need to commit themselves to creating a loving environment in their home. A loving environment. Do your best to make sure that each person in your home is loved by you, valued by you, and respected by you. whether they're good children or not so good children. Because there's no bad children, right? It's how they're acting, right? There's no bad children. Don't allow any unkind remarks to come from your mouth because your children are listening. Foster spirit of unity as a mother. You know what you got to do as a mother? So why aren't you not doing it? We need to support our children in everything. Set the example of a loving sacrifice for our children as a mother so that they will learn how to sacrifice for others. And if you're not sure what a loving home environment looks like, look at verse number 6. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is a commandment just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. In other words, you can't separate love of God or love of each other from obedience to God's commands. God has called you to be a mother, so let's be obedient to that task. You can't separate it. Spend every day in God's word and share that with your children. Do you talk to your children about that today? The older children, 6 or 60, 8 to 80, do you talk to your mother about God today? Or does your mother talk to you about God as well? It has to be an equal balance, an equal exchange. We talk about everything and nothing to our children all of the time, and that's fine, well, and good. But do we talk to our children about God? It's a blueprint to make a happy home for you, a loving home. Because we teach our children the truth and we live that truth out in front of them. Yes, we do. And when we do that, our children too learn to walk according to the truth. Not only do they walk according to the truth, listen to me real good now. Our children don't have to live in secret about what they're doing outside of your house because they're walking in truth as well. There's too many children of Christian parents, mothers and fathers, who are out there doing secret things that their parents don't know anything about. Talk to them about God. Talk to them. We're not perfect. We all sin and fall short of God's glory. Don't feel ashamed about it. Come clean with it. Let your mother pray for you. Let your father pray for you. We are all somebody's children, and we all stand in need of prayer. Practice the truth. The third thing that John says in his letter, he says that we ought to guard the truth. Know the truth, practice the truth, and finally you got to guard it. Because there are false teachers out there. There are people out there that are saying things that are trying to pull your children away from God, trying to pull them away from Christ. So he writes and he tells us, lady and her children, I want to warn you about the danger of letting go of the truth. Sometimes we compromise as parents. And we don't mean to do it, but we let the truth slip right away from us sometimes. We compromise that thing. Verse number 7, he says, for many deceivers have gone out into this world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh, such one as deceiver and the antichrist. There was a lot of false teaching in John's day, a lot. It had to do with the nature of Jesus being human. The Bible teaches us he was fully God and he was fully man. And if he wasn't fully God and fully man, he couldn't die for our sins. So John calls these teachers deceivers and antichrist, and that's some strong language to be called that. What are some of the false messages that our children are hearing today? You know what they are. Some say truth is relative. That's a lie. It's not. Some say you need to lie if it's convenient. Our children hear that. Our children also hear that pleasure comes first, so you pleasure yourself whenever you get the opportunity. Win at all costs is what they hear. Love who you want to love. It doesn't matter who you love as long as you don't hurt anybody else. The list goes on and on and on. Because the world around us has a lot of false teachers that finds a lot of ways to deny Christ and his teachings. And they will pull your children right away from you. But you know what a mother does all the time? She never gets off of her knees. Amen. Mothers are always praying for their children because they love them, even when their children are cutting up. They cut up as little children. They cut up as teenagers. They cut up as grown folks, and sometimes when they get old, they get a little sassy with their parents. But that mother stays on her knees for times like that so that she can have the grace of God in her life and things can be ironed out. And I want to say something to you mothers as well. I want you to listen to the messages that society is feeding your children. Know what they're watching on TV. Know what they got on their iPad. Listen to their music. If they ain't listening to James Brown, turn it off. Listen to their music and be aware of what they're learning in school, right? The fact of the matter is that your home is the first line of defense. It is. And if you don't protect your children, who will? Who's going to protect them? The world is out there to swallow us up. The devil, he roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, our children are yet not strong enough to defend themselves, sometimes even in the faith, so we have to be there for our children. First line of defense, first line. So listen to what they're doing. Then he says in verse number 8, watch yourselves so that you may not lose what you have worked for, but may win a full reward. What are you saying here? He said, don't lose your children to things that are not true. Don't lose your children to the world, right? Because Satan would love to destroy our children with all these lies that are out there. We've got to guard the truth and don't let our children be deceived, nor should we be deceived as well. We've got to be diligent, prayerful. We've got to teach and live out our lives in God's truth, so that we can have the full reward of a child who walks in God's truth. Full reward. I'm telling you, it's nothing better than to see your children worshiping God. After all those years, after all that toil of raising those children, they become adults, and they walk into the house of God along beside you, and we worship God. It's a family. And we worship God as a family. Let me just take a moment to address the children again who are here today, young and old. Some of you as children were raised in the shadow of the church. You were raised in the faith. Some of you were. And your mothers taught you real well. Not perfect, because no one is perfect, right? But your mothers taught you well, and you know they taught you well. You know the truth. The important question is, are you walking in the truth? You know that, listen, we're not going to beat around the bush with this. You know the truth. If you were raised under the influence of the church, you know the truth. It doesn't matter if you're 18 or 80. The question is, are you walking in that truth? Walking in it. Because it's not enough to be raised up with the right teaching, right? You've got to live it out in your own life. Regardless, listen to me, you've got to live the truth out in your own life, regardless of whether your mother is still living it or not. Because there's some mothers that are not Christians. Am I right? There's some of us in here right now who have mothers that are not Christians. You continue to walk that walk. You continue to live that life for God, because they're going to be influenced by your walk. My mother was not a Christian when I became baptized in Christ. It took me 15 years to convert her. She was 65 years old. So don't you give up. You love your mother as Christ loved us and gave himself for the church. Because she loved me first, I wasn't going to give up on her. I knew her soul had to be saved. Not only did her soul have to be saved, my soul needed to be saved as well. And some of you have children that have been introduced to God outside of the church. That's fine, well, and good. But you know the truth of the gospel. You live it, and you walk in that truth, because somebody's looking. Somebody's looking. Verse 9, John says this. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. He says, if you don't understand the truth of who Jesus is, you don't have God. And that's some strong language. He's making it plain. If you don't understand the truth of who Jesus Christ is, you don't have God. And it doesn't matter how much you say you're a Christian or not. How much you say that you're close to God, and how much you say, oh, I love Jesus. We say that, oh, I love Jesus. But that's just on a Sunday morning, right? Listen, there might be some of you here this morning that have been running away from God your entire life. Just running away from God, running away from the truth of what God stands for. I want to encourage you today to come back to him today. If you've been running, some of us have been running from a conversation with our mothers. For whatever reason, the relationship is strained. I want to encourage you today, let's get that fixed. Because you don't know how long you're going to live, nor how long your mother is going to live. And too many times we find ourselves saying, I wish I would have told her. You ever heard that phrase, too late? It's just too late. Too late. We've got to understand the truth of who Jesus is. We've got to encourage each other to come back. You know what would be one of the greatest Mother's Day presents you can possibly give your mom? Listen to me. Don't let your mother lose what she's worked for and prayed for in your life. Don't let her lose what she's worked for. Because a Christian mother has no greater joy than to know that her children are walking in truth. That's why she continues to pray as a mother. Mothers are special. They're chosen by God. I'm grateful for my mother. I'm sure you're grateful for yours. Some of us still have mothers that are living. Some of our mothers have passed on. But we still have that experience of knowing who our mother is. Who our mother was. And let that influence you to be for God what he has called you to be. Because that's all your mother wants or ever wanted. If she's walking in faith of God herself, it's all she wants. Don't take her for granted. Don't take her prayers for granted. Don't take her life and her sacrifice, her effort for granted. We do that too much. I don't see my mother enough because I live away. I don't see her enough. I need to see her more than enough. I need to do that. I talk to her all the time. Sometimes she can't hear me because she don't want to wear, you know, stubborn, don't want to wear that the hearing aid thing. I talk to her all the time, though. We have got to learn to appreciate our mothers, whether you're 16 or 60. She's still your mother. And she deserves honor and respect. And finally, this is what John says, verses 10 through 11. If anyone comes to you and does not bring his teaching, don't receive him in your house or give him any greeting. Whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. We can't let false teachers into our home. Because false teachers in that day, they would travel around and they'd stay in the homes of these people and use their homes to set up a home base for their operations. John says, listen to me, don't let these liars. You know, growing up a long time ago, people used to say, you know what, I know your parents, I know this, so I know you're a good child. Nobody don't vet these children. They just let them in their house. Whoever you want to bring in, bring in. We good with that. It's a new day and age. Things have changed. And all of a sudden, everybody in the house is dead. Listen, we have got to be careful who we are hospitable to because people want to come into your house to deceive you. John says, don't let them into your home. Don't give them a platform for their message. Listen, when a guy starts to date your daughter or a girl starts to date your son, you're looking at them hard and you say to them sometimes, even to their chagrin, I don't know if you ought to be with them. And what do? Well, they get hot mad. But they can't see what you see as a mother. They can't see that. And later on down the road, you know what they're saying? I wish I had a... Boy, I wish we ought to listen to God this morning. I wish, because there's a time coming when we're going to know full well how to appreciate the love of God and the love of our mothers. Because, you know, sometimes we teach our children the truth from God's word, but then we allow ungodly influences into our home, which speak against the very truth that our home is built on. And we don't think about it or discern it. We make our living rooms just available to any and everybody. Just come on in. We some nice people. And we look at the TV and it's broadcasting stuff from Hollywood that you don't even want in your house. But you do it for entertainment. Think about this. Does what your children see and live in this day and age, is it the same thing that you're trying to teach them? Is it the same thing? Or is it possible? Because if they're not seeing and living the things that you are teaching them, it's possible that you're letting someone else control the narrative of your children, and they're going to undo all the work that you've done with your children. You're going to unravel it all because you're letting them in. Don't bring anything to your home that speaks against the truth. Every Christian mother wants to and should make your home a safe harbor, and make it a safe harbor for the truth of Christ and his word. Don't allow what you've worked hard for to go down the drain. Look at your children. Respect your children. Teach them the truth and pray that they are going to benefit from knowing who God is. And by and by is the word. By and by, you're going to look up. Your children are going to be grown. They're going to be gone. And they're still going to be serving God. And you will see it from a distance. You'll see it from afar. The conversation is going to be engaging when we talk about Christian life. The conversation is going to be engaging when they talk about love and truth. Their conversation is going to be engaging because they are living out the principles that you've taught them from a child. That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. Listen, all I'm trying to say this morning is your mother has been chosen by God. It's a wonderful thing that you've gotten to know her. Some folks didn't even get to know their mothers. But if you've gotten to know your mother, then you ought to love your mother. Listen to me. We're not just spitting that word out there. You ought to love your mother. Paul said to the church at Philippi, love other people above yourself. Give them honor above yourself. Humble yourselves. All mothers are not right, but it doesn't mean that you have to be wrong as well, because she taught you right before she went wrong. So you'd be able to recognize that even in her. So you'd be able to recognize that even in yourself. We need an equal balance of truth and love, because God has given it to us. And boy, we dare not take it for granted that God has given us our mothers. He's given us our mothers. And we live, we love, and we grow. Even if our mother talks our head off till midnight, we still love her. Even if she fusses all the time, we still love her. Now, some people say something's got to be wrong because she ain't fussing. God calls us to just love, and he calls us to just truth. We got to come in the little spirit of truth who lives in us and within every child of God. We've got to practice the truth. Nurture the environment of truth in your home. Teach your children to know God's word and to live it out in their lives. We've got to guard the truth and protect our children from any ungodly influences. We've got to teach our children, listen, to discern truth from error. And like I've told you before, I still taste Ivory soap in my mouth because I lied to my mom one time. Never again. She says, listen, you're not going to lie to me. Right here, Ivory soap, don't like it. Right? Don't like it. We just can't disrespect our mothers in any way, shape, or form. We can't do it, right? Be careful that as you raise your children, that you don't lose what you're working for. The bottom line is that we want to go to heaven, and we want our children to go to heaven as well. And perhaps some of you are thinking right now that this message is too late for me because my children are grown and I don't have that kind of influence on them. And you do. You really do. Just talk to her and you'll see. Just love her and you'll see. Just walk with her and you'll see. Let me just ask you a question. It's just something I just got to ask you, because when was the last time that you walk with your mother and you held her hand? Just to hold her hand, it just melts her. I know it melts my mom, Aiden, it melts her. I'm gonna tell you, I hold her hand because she walked too slow. Out of love for God and love for your mother, embrace her, hold her, love her. Hold her hand from time to time and see what it does for her, because it'll sure do a whole lot for you, or does a lot for me when I hold my mother's hand. But it'll do a whole lot for me as well, because I know that my mother holds me in her heart. And it'll do a lot for her as well if she knows that you hold her, not only hold her hand, but that you hold her in your heart as well, because she was chosen. You know that phrase that says you can't pick your parents? You didn't have to. God chose her for you. So you be grateful for that and love her. Know the truth. Practice the truth and guard the truth all your life as a mother. This is what God has called you to do. It's a wonderful thing that I find in my life, that God's word has so many messages for mothers. A lot of messages for mothers. And it ought to mean something special to you. Not only on this day, but every day. God calls us to understand that we are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And we can't let these things that we take for granted just go to the sideline. Love your mother, respect your mother, not only on today, but every day. You do your best to do that. Again, whether you're 16 or 60, 18 or 80, she's still your mother. And just because you're grown, you don't have the right to disrespect her. Because when you were sitting on her lap and you had a diaper on, she allowed that. So you allow her to sit on your lap now with a diaper on. And you take care of her too. Because that's what God has called us to do. Amen. God has also called us to salvation. The salvation only comes to us through Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He says in John 6, it's written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that heard and learned of the Father comes unto me. Some of us are going to sit here this morning. We're going to hear the word, and we're not going to move at all, because we're going to allow Satan to keep us in our chairs. God is calling us to salvation. Salvation through truth and love of Jesus Christ, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him. You don't have to die, but you can have everlasting life. That's what we're here for today. Have everlasting life. We got to repent of our sins. Some of you here today know full well that you hadn't been walking with God the way that you should have been walking with God. Holding his hand and walking with God. We've let it go. But I want to encourage you today to come back and walk with God. Hold his hand once more and allow him to hold your heart. We need to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. For we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So if we can help you today to understand God's love, not only his love, but his truth as well. If we can convince every mother out there to be the mother that God has called them to be, that's what I want to do. But the salvation of our souls comes first. Living out the truth and love comes first. So if we can help you today to respond to that, why don't you come as we stand and sing God's invitation song.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word,
whether you want today to respond to the gospel, will you come? Be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. We stand ready to baptize you into Christ. Will you come?
He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.